Now, what are some of the challenges that you've come up against, and what have you done to get around them?
I suppose that I would say the first challenge, and it's a continuing challenge, and that is the fiscal challenge of government funding and government expenses. I'm in my ninth year as mayor. I've not had a year where we weren't developing a budget to address a deficit spending. I want to be as clear as I can about that. Local government cannot deficit spend like the federal government can, but we can project our expenses against our revenues. And when we see deficits, we have to develop budgets that accomplish a balanced budget. So one of the significant differences between my tenure as mayor and Mayor Logie's is that during his time, I think for 10 of the 12 years that he was in office, there were surplus budget years. Revenues were strong. The economy was good, and it was booming, in fact. Income tax revenues were high. Property tax revenues were growing. We've had a different scenario here over the course of the last decade with higher unemployment, which means lower income taxes for the city. In the last several years, falling property values as the real estate bubble bursts around the country, and we have not been immune to that, although we haven't
We didn't get it as bad as the
we didn't
east
get
side.
gutted like the east side of the state or like the West Coast or like Florida. We're substantially better off than that, but still, it impacted city revenues.
Oh,
So
sure.
at the same time, you're seeing continued growth in your personnel costs, salaries and benefits. We've had to address the question of unfunded pension obligations and retiree health obligations that previous generations had seen fit just to let the market handle. We can't count on that anymore. And so we've had to make allowances to fund those obligations to be sure that those retirees today and those who will retire in the future are adequately
provided for.
Provided for. So that's been a challenge. We've had two rounds of labor contract negotiations now with what I would say are significant concessions given by our workforce. There are 12, maybe 13 labor unions that in the city government. And so we negotiate with all of those unions, typically on a 3-year contract. The contract before this current contract, we negotiated a 4.2% concession in benefits. This contract, an 8.2% concession in benefits. The wages have basically been frozen for the past 5 years. So city employees are really and the workforce is 25% smaller. So they're doing more with lower compensation. We've got a very talented workforce, very hardworking workforce, and I thank God for that because I look around the state at some of the other cities that are failing on the east side, and they don't have the same ethic in their workforce. I would suggest that we have here.
Well, we've always had a pretty good work ethic here in West Michigan. I think we're very fortunate for that. So I'm sure many are quite interested. What's the average day in a life for the mayor of Grand Rapids?
Well, first of all, there is no average day in the life. One is so wonderfully different. I think that's perhaps one of the things I enjoy most about the job is the variety of things that a mayor does in Grand Rapids. Because I am the chief political officer for the city, the highest elected local elected officer. I have responsibilities for managing the city commission process, making sure that commission meetings flow smoothly and that commissioners are heard, that issues get in front of the commission that should be appropriately in front of commission, and that those that don't shouldn't get in front of the commission or that shouldn't don't get in front of the commission. Because I am the sort of the visible edge of city government, I work with the business community closely on development of new attraction of new businesses to the area. I'm frequently meeting with prospective industrial or commercial business owners that are looking at Grand Rapids as a market they might like to locate. You know, talking about what we do here in the city and why we're different and a very attractive place to locate your business. I spent a little time this week with children. I have a mayor's reading program where I go out to the libraries and read to children and to the school buildings and read to children. That's always a wonderful, a bright spot in the day when that happens about once a month. And then I work very closely with the city manager so that he As you know, Paul,
Greg Sundstrom.
Greg Sundstrom, and Greg is employed by the mayor and commission. We appoint him to his position. Evaluate his performance, and should it ever become necessary, it would be the commission that would mayor and commission that would terminate employment of a city manager. And so it's very important for the two of us to be on the same page and work closely.
Sure.
We spend time virtually every day. And some of that is on plotting and strategizing, and some of it is trying to patch up emergencies or problems as they arise.
Now, your predecessor Mayor Logie, was interested in getting a full-time mayorship into the city charter, and I know you had been as well. Why is that important, and why is that not succeeded?
Well, those are really good questions. I would suggest that the 1916 charter of the city of Grand Rapids that established the role of mayor, which we almost 100 years later continue to follow, is horribly out of date. The role of the mayor in the Grand Rapids of 1916 is dramatically different. Was dramatically different than the role of the mayor today in 2012.
So many things I couldn't anticipate back
then.
Well,
of course, of course. And to me, it feels important for the citizens of Grand Rapids to have strong representation in the mayor's office, and secondly, consistent representation. Because mayors in Grand Rapids are compensated at a level that is considered part-time, even as my predecessor John Logie and his predecessor Jerry Helmholt hold other employment. I'm the CEO of Pilgrim Manor Retirement Community and run our facilities out on Leonard Northeast. So it diverts attention from the role of mayor. And it does feel important to have that be a full-time job. Why didn't people, at the time they were given the opportunity, in 2002, I believe it was, why didn't they choose a full-time mayor? I suspect that because things are going as well as they are going, the general tendency is, why change it? You know, it's obviously it seems to be working pretty well. And frankly, we're getting by with paying for what amounts to a full-time effort. I'm sure John would say as well, it's hard to do this job at under 40 hours a week. But we're getting by at a fraction of what we might otherwise be paying for that position.
Now, if something did pass and it became a full-time position, would that change duties of the city manager? Would they get rolled more into the mayor's office?
That was one of the concerns at the time that the proposal came before the voters in 2002. What John Logie proposed, however, was not a change of structure, governmental structure. We are what's called a manager council form of government.
Sure.
And John didn't propose to change that. He only proposed to make the mayor a full-time position and paid as a full-time position, but to leave the professional city manager in place. I think there's good reason for that, and I would be one, I think, that would resist change to what's called a strong mayor form of government.
Sure.
But nonetheless, it was something that people were concerned that with a full-time mayor, especially a strong personality like John's, that maybe the city manager would end up being really playing second fiddle. I don't think it would have happened, but we don't know, and I have no intentions of bringing the matter before the voters again.
Okay.